Today's show is brought to you by MyPillow, where there is currently a buy one, get one free sale going on. So go to MyPillow.com, use promo code NOQ, or just call 800-862-0382. That's promo code NOQ, 1-800-862-0382, or MyPillow.com.
Are feeling like strangers in a strange land. Sadly, it's becoming more challenging every day to recognize our own country. Listening to the Midnight Sentinel will help us make sense of the craziness we're seeing and hearing about all around us. We need patriots and Christians who are willing to stand up for the values that made our nation great. Are you ready to be a sentinel? Here's J.D. Rucker.
Good morning from sunny California. Still communist out here and still morning here. You may be listening from the East Coast, in which case it's afternoon. You might be listening to the replay of J.D. Rucker Live on Red State Talk Radio. I'm sorry, from Red State Talk Radio, you may be listening on the Midnight Sentinel. Sorry, I'm a little scatterbrained today, folks. It's been a whirlwind. I mean, an absolute whirlwind the last couple of days. Those who listened to the show yesterday know that I got into a little tiff with Rick Grinnell, former DNI over candidate, Dr. Mehmet Oz, who he and Donald Trump and Sean Hannity and a lot of people seem to be supporting. I, of course, do not support him because I think he's a globalist. I think he's a rhino. He's a Democrat shill. I think that he is still pro-choice, still pro, you know, Roe v. Wade, still pro-gun control. I don't think that he has suddenly changed. As I said yesterday, I don't think that, you know, you could see the transition that Trump had made over the years, decades, where his perspectives had evolved. With Mehmet Oz, it's not the same thing. Okay, he actually, his perspectives suddenly changed right before he announced his intentions to consider running for the Republican nomination for Senate. So no, I don't buy it. Not like I buy it with Trump. I think Trump really is pro-life. I think he really is pro-Second Amendment. And I don't see the same thing out of Mehmet Oz. So people making that comparison, well, we'll just agree to disagree. But with that said, I don't want to talk about him or his globalism or anything like that. I want to talk about a rumor. So there's a lot of attacks right now. And let me just lay the background. So up until about 2 weeks ago, this was a two-person race for the GOP nomination for U.S. Senate in Pennsylvania. It was between Dr. Mehmet Oz and David McCormick, who's a former Bridgewater CEO. You know, and the funny part is that this was globalist versus globalist. These are both, you know, very highly touted men within the World Economic Forum. These are men who have had lots of exposure, lots of power, and they are, they're avowed globalists. They have stated their goals in the past and at Davos, everywhere else, with the World Economic Forum, and they don't seem to be ashamed of it. Now, they kind of hide it nowadays. They don't want to lead with that, but at least before they were running for office, they certainly seem to be pretty much okay with it. So that was then. Now we're into today. And today, you know, this was a two-person race, but that suddenly changed. They threw millions of dollars at attacking each other, okay, the two globalists in Pennsylvania. They thought it was just me versus him. And so they put millions of dollars in PAC money and campaign money to address the other. Meanwhile, Kathy Barnett started surging. She came out of nowhere. Okay, if I recall, when I was looking at the polls a couple of months ago, I think she was in like sixth place. I didn't even take a really close look at her. I hate to admit it, but I did not take a close look at her. I remember when Trump first made the endorsement of Dr. Oz, I thought, oh my gosh, this is horrible. You know, and then I started looking at the alternatives and I was like, well, I guess maybe he might have made the best bad choice. You know, if you got all bad choices there, you might as well endorse the guy that you think can win and the guy who is a personal friend because he's known Mehmet Oz for years. I thought, okay, I guess it sort of makes sense because nobody else really stood out. I started looking kind of at Carlos Sanz, and it's like, nah, not really. I didn't even go down far enough in the list to really explore Kathy Barnett. But once she started surging, it's like, oh, okay, well, let's take a look. You know, and it's like, oh, wow, okay. Yeah, I should have looked further from the beginning. This is my candidate. This is the person that I want to endorse. Okay, this is the person who is, you know, military experience. Now, keep in mind, Dr. Oz also has military experience. He was in the Turkish military. Kathy Barnett was in the United States military for a decade. She served proudly. She served her country. She has fought for our country. She is an America First patriot. She's unabashedly Christian. Very much so. And she's willing to state her perspectives. And that's something that I admire in a person, a politician. I'm so sick of these politicians. They go out there and you don't know what they're thinking. You know, one of the things that was appealing about Donald Trump is that you knew what, I mean, he just said what he felt. Sometimes it was controversial. And that brings me to the topic today, because a lot of people, this rumor is spreading around that, oh, she can't win. You know, we might not like Mehmet Oz, we might not like David McCormick, but at least they have a chance of winning. Folks, this is something that if you've been paying attention for years, decades, at elections, this is the Republican establishment's ploy every single time. Every single time. This is what they do. This is what they say. They say, we've got to go for the milquetoast. We've got to go for the reasonable candidate. We'll never be able to win. You know, if we were to nominate an America First patriot, we couldn't win if we were to nominate somebody so controversial. They were saying this about Trump in 2016. They're saying he was just too far out there. Okay, he was just, they were saying about Ted Cruz before Trump jumped in the race. Oh, he's just too conservative. He's just too far out there. You know, they've been saying this about anybody who does not agree with the pale, weak, milquetoast, mediocre Republican establishment. They go out and they say this every single time. And they're saying it now about Kathy Barnett. And I want to be clear. I want to debunk some of the rumors about her. But I want to just state for the record, you know what? I do think that either Mehmet Oz or David McCormick could win if they are the nominees. I'm not going to support them. You know, just as people say, well, you got to vote for conservatives in the primary and you got to vote for Republicans in the general. You know, I'm not buying that anymore because that means that we're never going to get conservatives. It's never going to happen. Okay, you might say Trump was the anomaly. Trump was bigger than life. Trump was able to overcome them because he's Trump. We can't expect everybody to be Trump. Sometimes we have to help them out. Kathy Barnett is no Trump. There's certain things that I think I like more about her than I do about Trump. Many things, okay? I mean, like I said, her Christian faith, you can always tell when a politician is just pretending to be Christian to appeal to the evangelicals. And when somebody is an actual devout Christian and they come across very differently, it's natural for them to talk about the Bible, to talk about salvation, to talk about this life and the next life, to talk about their belief and their heartfelt understanding that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. There's a difference between that person and the person who's like, well, yeah, no, we need to protect religious liberties and I pray every day and I go to church and I read my Bible and by golly, it's like our first thing and last thing I do every day. I promise you, you know, maybe after I read the Wall Street Journal. I mean, we've heard it so many times. Look, I'm done with the milquetoast politicians. I'm done with the establishment. I'm not going to support them. People say, well, but you got to. No, you don't. Okay, look at Mitt Romney. Donald Trump endorsed Mitt Romney. What has that gotten him? What has that gotten us? That has not benefited the nation one bit. There would be practically nothing different if Romney were a Democrat. Okay, he would just be Joe Manchin, just a different version of Joe Manchin. Okay, a pro-life, well, actually Manchin did vote for, Manchin did vote against the radical abortion bill that the Senate tried to push through, so there's that, but it wasn't even necessary, that was a statement. I mean, they fell way short, they needed to pick up, it was a show vote, they needed to pick up 10 Republicans and every Democrat in order to get it passed. They knew they couldn't do that, they weren't going to get any Republicans, not even Mitt Romney, not even Susan Collins. Or Lisa Murkowski, their bill was so radical and intentionally so. But I don't want to talk about that today. Oh, don't get me started on that. I want to start with some of the rumors that are surrounding Kathy Barnett. First and foremost, then this is arguably the biggest rumor out there, is that, you know, she can't win. And one of the things is, and this has actually been sent to me, you know, she lost in 2020 to a weak Democrat running for Congress. How could she possibly win for Senate? Well, let's look at the facts here. Number one, she didn't lose to a quote-unquote a weak Democrat. She lost to Madeleine Dean, who has was an incumbent. Madeleine Dean is in a blue district, and that's where Kathy was running, was in a blue district. She was trying to overcome the difference, and she did an excellent job. People like to ignore the fact that Madeleine Dean won in 2018 by a landslide, and Kathy Barnett in 2020 was able to make up a lot of ground. I'm talking about a lot of ground. To put it in comparison, she got, Kathy Barnett in 2020 got 48% more votes than Republican Dan David got against the same opponent in the same district in 2018. Let me repeat that. Kathy Barnett got 48% more votes in a blue district than the previous Republican candidate got against the same opponent in the same district 2 years earlier. She has a universal appeal about her. I'm sorry, but listen, the only people who she does not appeal to are the radical left and rhinos. She can appeal to mainstream Democrats. She really can. She can definitely appeal to independents. And yes, she can appeal to Republicans. They're not going to be turned off by her. Not by a long shot. Now, there's this other thing going around. Well, you know, she keeps talking about the stolen 2020 election, and that's just not a winning issue for us. Okay, number one, you're wrong. That is a winning issue because it happened. And if you still want to deny that, you're on the wrong side of history and you're on the wrong side of the Republican Party. Number two, in that regard, if you think that, then I assume that you also don't support Trump's endorsement in Arizona for governor, Carrie Lake, because she is unabashedly, she is aggressively pushing the notion, the idea, the truth that the 2020 election was stolen. As a matter of fact, if you could look it up, I think it was Rob Schmidt. She's on Rob Schmidt's show on Newsmax, and he asked her about abortion. You know, he asked her about the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and she threw him a curveball. She's like, well, you know, I think that the leak was done to try to take attention away from the release of 2,000 mules. And then she started going off for 2 minutes. And you could see every time it turned to the host, like I said, I think it was Rob Schmidt, every time it turned to him, he's like squirming in his chair because Newsmax, Fox News, any of the corporate, you know, quote-unquote right-leaning news outlets out there, it's forbidden. You cannot talk about 2,000 mules. You cannot talk about election fraud, you know. You just talk about anything else, but you can't talk about those forbidden things because we're actually corporate media and we're run by the globalists. We're just the controlled opposition. Yeah, that's not what they're literally told, but that's what they might as well be told because that's the truth. Fox News, Newsmax, you know, they are differing degrees of control, but there is control there. That's why they refuse to even mention the two words together, 2,000 and mules. That's why they will never talk about voter fraud. Never talk about voter fraud. Now, you might be able to get an occasional host that will sneak it in, especially somebody like Tucker Carlson. But even then, it's a challenge. Even Tucker Carlson, his people wouldn't let Dinesh D'Souza talk about 2,000 mules the week that it's released. Give me a break. Okay, if you don't think this is controlled opposition, you're crazy. And if you fall into that category of the people who think, oh, well, she can't win because she keeps talking about that, then you're just listening to too much rhetoric from these phony, supposedly right-leaning news outlets. These are shills for the Republican establishment, and they are shills for the globalist elites, period. I mean, I'm certain of this. This is not, you know, I always say I don't like to throw out things and I like to do things subtly and with percentages, you know. Am I 70% sure? No, I'm 99% sure that most of Fox News and at least, I'd say, half of Newsmax, and we're talking not just about the hosts, we're talking about the producers, the executives, the people that are actually in control of the narratives. Most of Fox News and at least half at Newsmax are controlled opposition. They are controlled by the globalist elites. Seriously, but that's a topic for another story. And that's not a conspiracy theory, to be clear. You know, this is clearly demonstrable. It's not even, you know, here's the unfortunate part. The unfortunate reality is that when you have stories like that, the people that can get those stories out are the people that the stories are about. So to get the word out to the masses that Fox News is controlled opposition, you'd have to get it out through Fox News because, you know, they're the ones that are controlled opposition. Their competitors, such as like OAN or The Blaze or Daily Wire or Breitbart, or, you know, they are not going to mention this either. Because it will, you know, there's a little bit of, I wouldn't say control, but at least influence in those smaller, but still corporate, right-leaning media sites. I love The Blaze, don't get me wrong. I love Glenn Beck. I really think that he, you know, he has really grown in my esteem in recent months because he's willing to tackle issues that most will not. Whereas, you know, Daily Wire, I would say they've actually diminished in my esteem. I still like him, you know, but they have really, they've always avoided the topics that are important to Americans, that are important to America, such as voter fraud, such as vaccines, such as, you know, New World Order, stuff like that. But yeah, anyway, point being is that you can't really get the word out, but it is true. Fox News, Newsmax, and many of the others in corporate conservative media are not actually corporate conservative media. They are controlled opposition. But I digress, as I often do. Back to Carrie Lake. She is going to win the nomination. She is going to win the governor's office. She's going to be the next governor of Arizona. And she will do so by boldly talking about things that we don't normally want to talk about. She'll go out there and boldly talk about voter fraud, like I said. She was on my show. I interviewed her. She actually said, and this was awesome to hear from a politician, you know, somebody who's striving to be a politician. She's not a politician. Neither is Kathy Burnett. Neither was Donald Trump before he went into office. So this is why they can be a lot more honest. But she actually told me, she said, look, we need to stop illegal aliens from crossing over, and we need to stop the drug smugglers from getting drugs into here. And if that means we've got to blow up the tunnels they have dug up, they've built, that go under the border wall and bring drugs to us, smuggle, you know, massive amounts of drug to us, so be it. And if the drug smugglers are in the tunnels when we blow it up, great. See, that's the type of boldness that we need. That's why Carrie Lake's going to win. Others will say, oh, but you can't say stuff like that. That's too controversial. You're not going to appeal to the independents or the Democrats. Well, I don't care, folks. I don't care. I'm not trying to appeal to them. I'm trying to appeal to what's best for America. And you could say that that's a losing strategy. I would say, no, it's not. Carrie Lake is going to win. Donald Trump did win. They were saying things that were crazy, and they're winning. You want to go milquetoast? Okay, well, why didn't Mitt Romney win? Why didn't John McCain win? You know, why didn't Jeb Bush? Jeb Bush was the clear frontrunner in 2015. You know, between him and Scott Walker, they were the only two games in town. You know, why did they implode? I mean, Scott Walker was out of there early. Jeb Bush was never a factor after once Trump got in. Now, these are things, if you want to go milquetoast, you think that's a winning strategy, then you're, no offense, stupid, because you're not paying attention to what's been happening in the United States over the last 5 decades. Milquetoast doesn't win. This is why Obama won. Obama was not milquetoast. You can say, but Biden was milquetoast. Okay, yeah, he didn't win either. He lost. And as it turned out, he wasn't milquetoast. He was just controlled. So, yeah, so there's that. That's kind of a big deal, right? What we're faced with now, with this race in Pennsylvania, why it's so important to me, and it should be important to you whether you're in Pennsylvania or not, is that this isn't just about rhinos versus conservatives. This isn't just the establishment versus the America First crowd. This really is the globalists versus Americans. Klaus Schwab has said, from the World Economic Forum, has said on multiple occasions that he is so proud that he has been able to install politicians into the highest levels of government in the United States. That is what Pennsylvania is. Pennsylvania is an attempt by the World Economic Forum, by the New World Order, by the powers that be, by George Soros, Bill Gates, Barack Obama. Yes, Barack Obama, he is involved in this. Even, you know, listen, before I go any further, I want to state this for the record. The way that you win elections, at least if you're the globalist elites, is to make sure that you have both sides controlled. Okay, we've seen this over and over again. I remember I used to poo-poo at this type of conspiracy theory till, gosh, years later. We're talking probably within the last couple of years when I started really looking into the Bush versus Kerry and the Bush versus Gore, Bush versus Kerry races. Okay. They had control they being the New World Order. They had control over both sides. It didn't matter to them who won. They had control. It did matter to them who won in 2016 and 2020. They did not have control. They tried to get control of Trump. They could not get control of him. They thought they could. They thought there was enough dirt on him that they could control him. You know, and when I say they thought they could, listen, just to throw out a quick conspiracy theory, I still think there's at least a 2% chance that maybe they did get something on him. Maybe they do kind of pull back on the reins at times with him. Maybe that's why he put in people like H.R. McMaster, Rex Tillerson, John Bolton, okay, people that are horrible. Maybe that's why John Kelly was in there. Jim Mattis, Mike Pence. Maybe because they said, okay, you do your thing. We're going to make it through the next 4 years. You do your thing. We're going to get our people in there as well. So don't worry. Just you. We won't expose you, but you got to get these people in there. I'm just saying, 2% chance, just minimal. But I want to throw that out there. I don't want to make it sound like, well, with 100% certainty, Donald Trump was never corrupted. We'll put it at 98% that he was never corrupted. Anyway, I digress. When we went into, you know, when we were looking at the 2004 and 2000 elections, the reason that there really didn't seem to be much sway in either direction from the globalists because they didn't care. They didn't care which one won. They had control either way, both in 2000 and 2012, or in 2008. You'll notice that before, I'm sorry, 2004. You'll notice before the 2008 election, things looked pretty much locked in for Hillary Clinton. But the globalists had a different idea then as well. That's why they had a meeting, documented meeting, between Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and the powers that be that are nameless, faceless, and we don't know exactly who they were at this meeting. We just know that it happened. We know that Hillary Clinton left dejected and Barack Obama was on top of the world. And then within a few days, he was the nominee. That was established, again, by the globalist elites. Fast forward, 2016. Okay, Hillary, it's your turn. You can go in there. And they got blindsided by Trump. For the next 4 years, they plotted to not let that ever happen again. So they did what they did in 2020. They stole the election. They put in somebody they could have absolute control over. I'm talking about the most corrupt, the most compromised president that we've ever had, and the least competent on top of all that. I mean, they have total control of the United States of America, at least the executive branch right now. And they need to try to get total control of the legislative branch, which is why they're trying to push people. Now we're circling back, like Jen Psaki, we're circling back to the topic. That was all set up to understand why they really want it to be Dave McCormick or Mehmet Oz, one or the other. The last thing they need, the last thing they can afford, is for it to be Kathy Barnett. Now let's be clear. By no means am I suggesting that I believe that Rick Grenell or Sean Hannity or Donald Trump or who else, Ben Carson or Wilbur Ross. I'm not suggesting that any of those guys are working on behalf of the World Economic Forum. But with the exception of Trump, I would not be surprised if I learned that any of them were. Okay? Seriously. I mean, I would put it, you know, depending, go up and down the line, I would say that, you know, you got Rick Grenell, I'd put him at about a 10% chance that he's controlled. I would put Sean Hannity at about 40 or 50% chance that he's controlled. I would put Ben Carson at about 10-20%. You know, so he's kind of not out there as much, so it's a lot harder to know where he stands and who's pulling his strings. I would put Wilbur Ross at about, probably 70-80%, maybe 90, that he's controlled. You know, these are people that, again, I would say that Wilbur Ross was inserted into the Trump administration for that very reason. And I would put Donald Trump, like I said, at about a 1 or 2% chance. Okay, always a chance, but I don't think that's the case. I think that he's just, pardon me, they're trying to get me too. I would say that he's just being manipulated, not controlled. I think he was manipulated into the Mehmet Oz endorsement. And as I was saying last night on Worldview Weekend with Brandon House, yeah, I wasn't saying it actually. He's the one that told me he believes, and he's heard from other people, that it was Sean Hannity that actually got to Trump and got him to endorse Mehmet Oz. So we'll see. You know, we'll see how this plays out. I don't want to dwell on this election too much longer. You get the idea here. Kathy Barnett, yes, she can win. So don't listen to the lies. Yes, she has all of the capabilities. She has all the passion. And let's be clear, they hate passion. Okay? They do. They definitely hate passion in Congress. And they, for certain, I mean, beyond belief, hate passion in the Senate. They want the most boring people out there to be their senators. Okay? They know. And then when I say they, I'm not talking about the globalist elites in this case. I'm talking about the Republican establishment. Mitch McConnell wants people like Mitch McConnell. Kevin McCarthy wants people like Mitch McConnell. Okay? I mean, that's what they want. They don't want firebrands, as they're often called. And Kathy Barnett would be a firebrand in the United States Senate. And there aren't very many. Okay? You could say Rand Paul. You could say, you know, sometimes occasionally Ted Cruz, sometimes very rarely, but occasionally Marco Rubio. You could say Ron Johnson. Okay, he's a firebrand. Okay, so there's a couple, but there's not very many. And Kathy Barnett would be one of them. She would be, in many ways, the Marjorie Taylor Greene or the Matt Gaetz of the Senate. And that scares them. They don't want that, especially Mitch McConnell. Mitch wants boring people like him. He wants people that don't rock the boat, that line up with what he wants and the direction that he wants everything to go. And that's what the Republican establishment is all about. They like to talk tough when they know that nothing can happen. Mitch McConnell, oh man, he was a bulldog fighter against Obamacare when Obama was still in office, right? I mean, he just kept passing legislation to defund and revoke and remove and rescind and recall and whatever. He was doing everything he could to get rid of Obamacare, and he was passionate about it, or at least pretending to be passionate about it. Then all of a sudden, gets Trump in office. It's like, oh well, we got to get nuanced here. We got to get so we can't just repeal it, even though we did that 16 times when Obama was there, and we knew that he would veto it. Now that we got somebody who's not going to veto it, we can't repeal it. We never wanted to repeal it. Rhinos, they bug me. One of the bad parts about, you know, I've been having some technology issues, so I haven't been able to insert my ads. Usually that's when I go and drink my coffee and stuff like that today. And yesterday, you guys don't get to hear that. You guys have to hear me drinking and coughing. I do apologize up front. It's very, very unprofessional, but it is what it is. We just got to keep going through. I want to get to a couple other stories, though. So let's jump on this one. This one blew me away. It's from Twitchy. Twitchy Sam Janney, who I've actually been on her show. She's been on my show before. It's been, 5 years, but still. Title of the story is America Last is so on brand for this admin. Illegal immigrants, or sorry, they call illegal migrants. I call them illegal aliens. At the border, getting pallets of hard-to-find baby formula. Pallets. You know, you probably heard that there is a baby formula shortage right now. You know, there was a lot of people, I think I was one among them, who was saying, how can we send $40 billion to Ukraine to help them in their regional conflict? It was really just corruption money. This is bribery money. This is, you know, a way to get 10% of the big guy. I'm not sure how many big guys there are. There's probably a lot of them. But yeah, so they passed the $40 billion with the help of a bunch of rhinos, all the Democrats, of course, including like even the squad. They're like, oh yeah, let's support this war. Yay. Anyway. They can do that, but they can't help with the baby formula shortage. And there's a massive baby formula shortage. I mean, Walgreens, this was 2 months ago. I should have noticed it back then. I didn't take note. I apologize. I usually catch on to those things. This one stuck in the back of my mind, but I didn't address it. It was a couple of months ago when Walgreens started limiting the amount of baby formula you could buy at a time. I thought it was odd, but again, didn't click. I should have caught that one. Now we're seeing it. Now we're seeing the effects of that. According to the article, we see a lot of baby formula on the shelf in the pictures on the left, so not so much in the pictures on the right. Well, the pictures on the left, and I wish you could see these pictures, is from a tweet from Paul Bedard. Illegal migrants first to get pallets of hard-to-find baby formula. According to Kat Kamak, she's a great, decent, above average congresswoman out of Florida. They are sending pallets of baby formula to the border. Meanwhile, in our own home district, we cannot find baby formula. And yes, I'm looking at these pictures, and of course you can, you know, pictures are what they are. But yes, the supply for illegal aliens at the border, jam-packed. You look at the pictures of the store shelves here for American citizens, nope, not so much. From the Washington Examiner, the state, the nationwide shortage of baby formula that has sent mothers desperately rushing from store to store has evaded one lucky group, illegal immigrants detained by Border Patrol. According to videos posted by a Florida lawmaker, the Biden administration has been shipping pallets of baby formula to migrant holding facilities. And this, again, according to Kat Kamak. They are sending pallets. Okay, we already read that part. Anyway, so that's what that's happening. That's happening here in the United States of America. And that's just absolutely positively disgusting. I mean, disgusting beyond belief. I cannot stress enough how this exemplifies not just the Biden regime, but the direction of the U.S. government in general over the last year. Where's Congress on this? I know you got one congressman out there blowing the whistle, but how are they not? I mean, at this point, with things going as bad as they are, it's time to shut everything down, okay? If the Democrats won't try to address this, then don't address anything. I'm not talking specifically just about baby formula. I'm talking about the economic collapse that they're developing right now in Washington, D.C. Developing, manufacturing. They could turn this around. They could turn it around in a heartbeat, but they won't. And why? Why is that? We need to know this as Americans. Story from Daily Mail. Wholesale prices surge 11% in April as rising food costs keep inflation near record highs. Now, I want you to listen to this. Grains jump 41% and eggs soar 161%. The bird flu, which I think also might be manufactured just because of the timing, just because of the fact that it's not acting like normal bird flus. Folks, when there's a bird flu, here's what happens. Okay, you get a bird flu, it hits a farm. That farm has to call the flock, and it's unfortunate, you know. But then if it spreads, it's going to spread, you know, 5-10 miles away, maybe to another place, and you get this regional bird flu. What we're seeing is little sparks. It's as if, you know, think of it like this. When there's a bird flu, depending on how they're able to contain it, okay, and they are very experienced at doing this. They've been doing it for years, decades. It's almost like a wildfire, right? You've got these little areas that are, they can grow if they're not contained early, or if they're contained early enough, they don't grow. That's what happens. What we're seeing, and they don't like jump around. What we're seeing are bird flus that are popping up, you know, within short time frames, popping up hundreds of miles away from each other. That, to me, is almost like arson. You know, if we're using the fire analogy, it's like arson. Okay, bird flus can begin and can be spread by other birds, right? They pigeons fly in, hang out with their chickens for a while, and then they fly off to another farm, you know, 5 miles away, and they talk to those chickens, and now you got a bird flu spreading from farm to farm, right? Well, this one is going beyond the capacity for the pigeons to be able to spread it, or the sparrows, or even the eagles, or the hawks, or whoever's hanging out with the chickens. Whoever's spreading the bird flu, it's not the birds. It's not, because what we're seeing is it's popping up in different states, but at the same time. It's not random. It seems random, but it's not. Because, again, we're talking about short periods of time. Somebody is intentionally, in my opinion, I would put this at about a 85% chance. In my opinion, somebody is intentionally spreading bird flu across the country. Iowa, Oklahoma, go up, you know, up and down and throughout the Midwest, the Great Plains, through various states. And it's spreading randomly. It's not like going in the way that a fire would go, you know, in a spreading outwards or in a straight line. No, this is very different. Very different. Anyway. That's why, amongst the other reasons, why we're seeing eggs soar 161%. Wholesale, according to this article from Daily Mail, wholesale inflation remained painfully high at 11% in April, reports Thursday said. It was a slight decrease from the 11.5% rate in March, but still near record highs. Soaring food costs are helping drive inflation at the wholesale level, and the last bullet point, food products for final demand rose 16.3% in April from a year ago. 1 year. Okay. I wish you could see this chart. You know, I think you can always make charts that look, oh, that's so scary. I remember, who was it? I think it was, it might have been the DNC themselves. Or the Democrat Party had released this thing talking about how gas prices had been dropped. And the chart that they showed looked like a dramatic drop over a two-week period. But then you actually look at how much the drop was. They had gone into fractional pennies to make the drop look very steep. Okay, fractional pennies. In other words, the decrease in gas prices at the time by the Biden regime over a two-week period was approximately a quarter cent. But by golly, they made that graph look like, oh my gosh, it's just a huge drop. You guys are just so damn lucky to have Joe Biden in the White House controlled by his handlers, because they're doing a heck of a job. Look at that drop. Look how steep that drop is. Anyway, so this chart that I'm looking at dailymail.co.uk, it is a legitimate chart. They're not trying to make it dramatic for effect. You could look at it and you could see it's spread out. Number one, it's not spread out over 2 weeks. It's spread out over more than a decade. You could see that the percentage scale is reasonable. 2% per line. And this is showing the final demand, the 12-month percentage change, not seasonally adjusted, which is an extremely important number. If you're unfamiliar, just take my word for it. That is arguably the most important number, because that's what accounts for what you actually end up paying at the grocery store. That's the number that determines, you could say, well, cost of fertilizer this, supply chain that, dollar value inflation. No, but at the end of the day, the final demand number, the PPI, that's what you need to look at to see, well, are the prices actually going to be hitting the grocery stores tomorrow? And in this case, the answer is yes. Okay, the answer is yes. We're looking at, compared to, it's funny because you can practically see, you can definitely tell Trump years versus Obama years and definitely the Biden years. Wow, that's just insane. Talk about a steep hill. You need a top-notch four-wheel drive to be able to climb that hill. Thursday's report showed a broad-based rise in the cost of food at the wholesale level, with grains up 41.3% from a year ago, as Russia's war in Ukraine raises world prices. Both Russia and Ukraine are major grain producers. And of course, there is the fertilizer aspect of it, which they do control about 30% of the fertilizer exports in the world. So between the two, and the fact that between our sanctions and the fact that we have prolonged this war as long as we can, okay, we've done everything we can to make sure the war goes on. We, as in the United States, NATO, and the Western allies, we have tried to keep the war going. You might say, oh no, we're trying to help Ukraine win. Folks, Ukraine's not going to win. So let's be clear. You want to help the Ukrainian people? Then get the war over with. Okay, Russia is not going to lose this. They've demonstrated resolve on this. They have taken a brutal hit from the world community, and yet they keep going. You would need to get us directly involved for Russia to have a chance of losing. And we're not getting, oh my gosh, Lord forbid that we would get directly involved in this regional conflict. But for that, what we're doing is we are prolonging the war. We're helping them to hit Russia hard enough that Russia can't win very easily. Do you realize that if we just didn't intervene, that there would be peace already? I'm almost certain of it. There would be peace in Ukraine. Russia would have gone in. They would have replaced the regime. This corrupt, partially Nazi regime, Vladimir's link. This is where people, oh my gosh, he's a Russian apologist. Let me be clear. I'm not suggesting that I wanted Russia to win. I hate Russia. I do. Okay. I hate Iran, China, Russia, and North Korea. Those are the four nations, the leaderships of those nations. I don't want to say, oh, I hate Chinese people or Russian people. No, it's not that. I always forget. You got to throw out the caveat just in case you got new listeners. I do not cheer for Russia. I do not want them to win. I just don't see us being able to stop it without getting directly involved, and I don't want to get directly involved. So let's treat it like a regional conflict. We would have been very upset if we invaded Iraq and Russia is sending them $40 billion in aid. We would have been very upset if we invaded Iraq and Russia was telling them, hey, here's where you blow up their ships, sending them intel, sending them weapons. That would have really ticked us off. We might have even wanted to go to war with Russia over it. And that's what we're seeing on the opposite side. I would say that, considering the false premise around the Iraq War, that Russia, while I still absolutely positively 100% do not support their invasion of Ukraine, I would say they actually have more of a reason to invade Ukraine than we had to invade Iraq. Again, not justifying. I'm just saying that if we're looking at this impartially, you know, Vladimir Putin, evil dictator. So, are we going to go into regime change with him? No, I don't think we can or should. So what does that leave us? That leaves us with, well, we just let it happen. And if we had just let it happen, then the Ukrainian people would be experiencing peace right now today. And many of them, this is the dirty little secret that nobody wants to speak about in Western media, many of them would be happier with a Russian-installed leaders versus Vladimir Zelensky and his merry band of former television producers and Nazis. Seriously, they would actually be happier. Not all, I wouldn't say a majority. I would say a majority would prefer to have Ukraine just status quo. But they are a very corrupt nation. And there is, at least some, to some extent, there is this need for them to want to make changes. And if that comes through Russia, so be it. Again, a lot of people, not probably not a majority, but a lot. Point I'm trying to make is this, is that things would have gone back to semi-bad normal, not normal, but at least bad normal, instead of right now we're on the verge of economic and societal collapse, not just in the United States, but across the world, in pretty much every Western nation. Russia's not close to economic collapse. They ain't, between them and China, they're hunky-dory. Okay, they just opened up. European nations are now trading for oil with rubles. Russia got its desire. You don't hear that much in corporate media. This just happened. You won't hear that because they don't want you to know that Russia is not hurting. They don't want you to know that Russia is not experiencing a shortage of a baby formula. They're not. They're not experiencing a vegetables going up 45.7%. They're not experiencing grains going up 41.3%. We are, based on our actions, our actions. I got into it with Mark Levin on Twitter yesterday about this. I don't understand why. I can't understand why Democrats don't see it, because they don't see anything. I don't understand why America First Patriots don't see it, and there's a lot of them. There's a lot of you. A lot of you are probably sitting there shaking your head. So, nope, we got to help Ukraine. You know, Russia's our enemy. We got to help Ukraine. I agree, Russia's our enemy. But Ukraine is not our ally. And we can't help them without going three or four notches above where we are today. And that means World War III, and that means billions dead. So, no, I'm not going to jump on that bandwagon, Dan Crenshaw. Sorry. I'm not going to do it. Apologies. This really bugs me. Back to the article. The producer, Price Data, captures inflation at an early stage of production and can sometimes signal when consumer prices are headed. It also, that's what I was explaining earlier, by the way, it also feeds into the Federal Reserve's preferred measure of inflation, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index. Thursday's figures came just a day after the government released consumer price data for April, which showed that inflation leapt 8.3% last month from a year ago. That increase is down slightly from the four-decade high in March of 8.5%. Again, you know, it's incremental changes. At this rate, you know, if it keeps getting quote-unquote better at this rate, then yeah, we might be able to survive until 2024. Maybe. Maybe not make it through 2023. We can't sustain this. Not even close. That increase is down slightly from the four-decade high in March of 8.5%. On a monthly basis, inflation rose 0.3% in April from March, the smallest increase in 8 months. So hey, that is actually some decent news. The carnage is slowing down a bit, folks. Break out the Dom Perignon, I guess. Still, actually, just save it. You'll probably want to sell it later to the globalist elites if they take over. Still, there were plenty of signs in the consumer price report that inflation will remain stubbornly high, likely for the rest of the year and into 2023. Yeah, okay. So at least they're honest about that. And look, Daily Mail, they are relatively centrist, okay? Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're left, sometimes they're outrageous, okay? Sometimes they do go a little bit fringe. But you can usually take what they're saying from a data perspective, and at least they're very well researched, and that's what I like about them. I don't like the paper in general, but I do like their journalistic style more than what we're seeing here in the United States across corporate media. But this is having an effect elsewhere. Rents rose faster as many apartment buildings have lifted monthly payments for new tenants. And this, that's awful. Man, I wish you guys could see these graphs. Actually, it's probably better that you can't. They are depressing. Prices for airline tickets jumped by the most on record dating to 1963. Just when, hey, you don't have to wear a mask, you just have to pay more. Yay. Food prices continue to rise sharply. Over the past year, grocery prices have shot up 10.8%, the largest such year-over-year increase since 1980. Food away from home was up 7.2% from a year ago. Look, I can go, this is very, not very long, but this is a longer article. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Point is that yes, and I've said it a billion times before, the economy is in horrible shape. We know that. I don't have to keep reiterating. I don't have to keep beating a dead horse. I will say, in lieu of sponsors, I will say that yesterday we just launched our organic roasted freeze-dried chicken company. Now, it's not only going to be in an organic roasted freeze-dried chicken company. That's just the one product we have today. It's the first product. It's the product that we wanted to launch with because it's the product that I believe, that we believe, the American people need the most. We need good food, thus the organic. Oh, there's a story. Check it out over at noqreport.com when you get a chance. There's a story over there about how even in Europe, which Europe has always been more reluctant to get into genetically modified foods than the United States has. They've been more natural, so to speak. Even they are now pushing for, to get around genetically modified, they're pushing for gene-edited food. Gene-edited food is totally different, y'all. It's totally different from gene-modified. It's gene edited. That's different. You know, edit, modify, they're different words. So it's very different. They're using that to get around it. And they're actually using that to try to produce as much as possible, as much genetically modified food. So it's not just, and whatever they do, we're going to do more so. That's just kind of the trend when it comes to scientific endeavors crossing over the Atlantic between the European Union and the United States. What they're testing today is our reality tomorrow. So that's one of the reasons, number 483, that we decided to launch this company. You can check it out yourself. Go to prepperorganics.com, 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 and sign up. I mean, no, sign up, buy a bag, buy two bags. Now, I had mentioned it for the first time yesterday, and I, after the show, I went and I found that we were actually, yes, the appeal is definitely there. Shockingly there. We had set July as the time, I'm sorry, June as the time when we would probably order some new freeze dryers. It looks like it's going to happen this month. It looks like we're going to need freeze dryers as soon as possible, just to be able to meet our current goal of late summer deliveries. So check it out. PrepperOrganics.com. Get your freeze-dried food or freeze-dried chicken. It's already cooked. It lasts 20 to 25 years. Sealed in Mylar bags for long-term storage. Air oxygen absorbers. Good stuff. Check it out. I got a great chef and former, you know, retired Army man, Jason Nelson, former congressional candidate as well. He is going to be handling all the cooking down in Texas. Local Texas farmers that he's talking to. Let's get these organic chickens. Yada, yada, yada. Good stuff. PrepperOrganics.com. I'm going to skip that story. That was one. We basically covered it. Here's one from American Greatness, amgreatness.com. NIH director confirms agency hid COVID genes on orders from the Chinese. Shocking, right? You're shocked. On Wednesday, Lawrence Tebbick, the acting director of the National Institute of Health, confirmed during congressional testimony that officials at the NIH deliberately withheld crucial information about early genomic sequences of the COVID-19 virus on the orders of Chinese scientists. Now, we actually talked about this last week, but nobody seemed to really catch on to it. Not even a lot of the, even I was very disappointed that even a lot of the alternative media sites that I admire, like the Gateway Pundit and 100% Fed Up, if they picked it up, I didn't see it. Okay, I had to get this. I think it was, I don't remember where I got it from, but it was It was a story that should have been big last week. I'm glad that it got big this week. As reported by the New York Post, there's why. New York Post reports it. New York Post does a pretty good job. As reported by the New York Post, Tabak told the House Appropriations Subcommittee that the agency eliminated from public view all the data from the locations of the virus's origins, Wuhan, while adding that researchers can still access the information through a tape drive. I'll bet you there are people out there. I'll bet you there are listeners out there who have no idea what a tape drive even is. Okay? That's how old and antiquated that is. I remember tape drives. Wow. That was a pain. Don't even get me started. When asked by Rep. Jaime Herrera Butler why the NIH would take orders from the Chinese, Tabak responded by admitting that, quote, "There's no question that the communication that we had about the sequence archive, sequence red archive is what they call it, could have been improved." I freely admit that. You know, I love is politicians are great at saying things the right way, but you get the right bureaucrat, they are the best. I mean, they say things, you know, in the beginning of the Biden regime, you know, they practice things, right? They practice little talking points that they use. And we do it too in radio, but bureaucrats are great at it. And cabinet members are often great at it. Look at Jen Psaki. You remember when in the beginning, I mean, within 2 or 3 days, everybody was already making fun of her because she had that practiced reply, you know? Well, I'm not as familiar with that as I am, but let me circle back with you on that. She circled back, or allegedly circled back, like 45 different people over the first 3 or 4 days. It was funny. And they had to train her to not say that. But anyway, yeah, so here he says, you know, it could have been improved. I freely admit that. Oh, you know, big hero. If I may, this is him again, the archive never deleted the sequence. It just did not make it available for interrogation. Oh, okay. So there was damning evidence about Wuhan, about the Chinese Communist Party's participation with the U.S. government's pandemic response team. And you thought, well, you know, hey, we didn't hide it. We just didn't tell anybody about it. We didn't, you know, we still had it out there. We just didn't make it available for interrogation. Give me a break. So wait, you have the information still? And Tabak responded, we have the information. Anybody who submits the sequence read archive or submits to the sequence read archive is allowed to ask for it to be removed. And that investigator did do that, but we never erased it. Now it's getting interesting. The Congresswoman followed up with another question, confirming that the information was never fully erased, but instead hidden from public view, which Tabak confirmed. Vanity Fair initially reported, that's where I got it from, Vanity Fair initially reported that the information in question could have ultimately determined whether or not the virus was formed naturally, or if it originated from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. This debate remains highly contentious in the United States and around the world, although other evidence seems to point to the WIV as the more likely origins of the virus that has since spread across the globe. So they have to be, you know, as proper journalists of American greatness, they have to be a little, you know, very cautious with what they say. Let me say it for the record here on my show. Look, this came from the Wuhan Institute of Virology, period. That's where it was formed. It was formed by gain-of-function research. This gain-of-function research was partially, if not fully, funded by the United States government through Peter Daszak, Anthony Fauci. It was illegal. It was dangerous. They knew it was dangerous. They claim, and this is what all the proponents of gain-of-function research claim, they claim it's for defensive purposes so we know how to handle something. But I want you to stop and think about that. It's kind of like saying, okay, we've got to build an antidote for a poison that we may see in the future. We have to develop it. No, that's not how it works, folks. That's not how nature works. They're playing God and trying to develop this disease. And they did. So by its very definition, it is a bioweapon. Because you could say that we did it for defensive purposes, but hey, sure didn't work. sure didn't work if you were planning on, oh, we wanted to build it so that we could counter it. Okay, well, 3 years later, where's the counter for it? You failed. Unless you didn't. Unless the goal was to create a bioweapon for China. Maybe shared with the United States. Maybe mutually assured destruction. Maybe depopulation. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know. Above my pay grade, all I know is that this all stinks. And it's very conspiratorial. And those who say that there are no conspiracy theories, or conspiracy theories are bad, or use the phrase as a pejorative, you're wrong. There are conspiracies. All we have are theories, and we have to get those theories out there. I'm not saying every single one. Okay? Some of them are pretty darn crazy. We know that. Some of them are pretty darn crazy. But there are more and more that are being proven to be correct. This is why I know I'm used to shy away from saying New World Order, right? Because I would always say, oh, it's the globalist elites, the powers that be, you know? That's the easy way to not sound conspiratorial. Now I'll just say it. It's the New World Order. Why? Because the New World Order is coming out and saying, hey, we're the New World Order. Joe Biden, yeah, New World Order. Everybody who's participating, they are talking about it openly. Not honestly, but at least openly. So yeah, there are conspiracies, and this is one of them. Oh, so that's it. Guys, stay frosty out there. It's getting crazy. Okay, it really is. Lord willing, I will be back very soon with another episode. But in the meantime, y'all stay strong, stay safe, and God bless.
If you've taken the COVID jabs, or if you could have been exposed to vaccine shedding, Dr. Zev Zelenko has put together a detox solution for you. Shedding is becoming increasingly likely as more people get boosted. So go to zstacklife.com/freedom and make your immune system clean, resilient, and resistant. That's zstacklife.com/freedom. Every conservative show has a MyPillow code, and rightfully so. Mike Lindell is a true America First patriot who continues to fight the good fight. When you use promo code NOQ at MyPillow.com, you're not just helping Mike, you're helping another America First organization, this show. Please use promo code NOQ at MyPillow.com. Our listeners do not want to be beholden to government. With food shortages impacting both prices and availability of food, it's time to take control of your family's long-term future. Go to noqreport.com/MPS and start stocking up immediately. Don't get stuck in breadlines when food becomes scarce. That's noqreport.com/MPS. As the economy and dollar show signs of falling or even collapsing very soon, now is the time to invest your portfolio or retirement in physical precious metals. This show strongly recommends OurGoldGuide.com for your gold and silver needs. Unlike the big players with big ad budgets, OurGoldGuide IRA is focused on you. That's OurGoldGuide.com.